And welcome to the show. Our guests today are Danette Campbell, Patent and Trademark Office Telework Senior Advisor, Anil Carmel, the M&O Chief Technology Officer for the National Nuclear Security Administration, Rick Holgate, the Assistant Director for Science and Technology and the CIO at ATF, Tony Leone is the VMware Federal Business Development Specialist for GovConnection, and joining us by the telephone is David Young, Solutions Architect for VMware. And why don't we start by laying out the landscape, and we'll probably start with Ms. Campbell. Give us the policy overview as it stands now in light of recent legislation and some changes coming from OMB that is driving telework, and give us a couple of the whys that are driving telework at your shop.
Certainly, Tom. Thank you for having me this afternoon. I would like to say that the 2010 Telework Enhancement Act is certainly driving federal telework policy. And I think agencies are taking a good long look at teleworking to prepare for continuity of operations insofar as return on investment associated with real estate cost avoidance. Certainly employee attrition and retention. If you have a viable telework program in place, that really does position your agency to be an employer of choice. Not to mention, of course, the traffic congestion that we have in the Washington metropolitan area. Telework and hoteling programs certainly do impact those as well. And then again, being able to hire new employees without securing additional real estate, all of those things, I think, are driving policy.
And Rick Holgate at ATF, you've got specialized needs because of the nature of your agency.
Absolutely, Tom. As you know, we're a law enforcement and regulatory agency, and so therefore much of the work that we do as an organization happens outside of a traditional office environment. And so our adoption of telework is largely driven by the need to make that workforce as productive as possible wherever and whenever they need to get work done. So we've been very aggressive in terms of giving them the tools to enable that productivity outside of the normal environment. We also have about 1,300 employees who have telework agreements in place. So even though they're not necessarily law enforcement personnel or regulatory personnel, they also have the ability to work outside of the office. And it's for the reasons that Danette mentioned. Not only does it enhance productivity, because sometimes it's actually easier to get work done when you're not in the office, but also it enhances our continuity of operations. When we have circumstances like the earthquake last year or the blizzards of the last couple of years, we've had the ability to continue to operate as an organization because our people have the tools they need to do to work outside of the office space. And then as Danette also mentioned, long-term, we're looking very hard at real estate costs. And if you look, I think, across the federal government, you'll see a lot of agencies are viewing real estate costs as one of the major opportunities for returns on investment in telework types of capability.
And Anil Carmel at the National Nuclear Security Administration, I thought there was no telework. Everybody's got to stand there and nurse the bombs.
That's a very good point. Our particular mission needs and concerns are a little bit different than your ordinary use case, in the sense that the National Nuclear Security Administration is responsible for the safety and reliability of the U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile. So given that particular mission need, telework is really a different concept for us. It's more around mobility, being able to deliver the right computing experience to our end users so that they can collaborate how they want, when they want, on a device of their choosing. So that really is more our stance. Now, there are specific use cases where telework does indeed make sense for the office productivity worker. And in those particular use cases, we're developing and deploying the right capabilities for our constituents therein.
And Dr. Alexander from TSA, your agency is practically all out of office. It's almost like an agency turned inside out. So tell us the telework driving policy that you're following and some of the reasons that you're doing it besides the policy.
Yes, so TSA is a fairly large federal agency with about 60,000 plus employees. And of that 60,000 employees, about 50,000 of those employees are not sitting in a traditional environment in front of a computer, which is what we're accustomed to when we think about the work environment. They're at a checkpoint in an airport, they're mobile, and they're on the move. And so most of them are required to be physically at the workplace in order to get their work done. But we do have people outside of that environment as well, the remainder of those people who have opportunities to telework. And I heard some of the benefits that were offered by some of the other offices, and we have the same benefits as well if we can have people telework. There was some discussion about real estate cost, and that's a very, very important area to look. The Secretary for Homeland Security has been looking at efficiencies. And as a part of Homeland Security, TSA is also looking for efficiency. So our ability to telework and reduce our cost around real estate is real important, and there's a real tangible benefit there. So that's one of the benefits. We also have work-life balance. We all live in the National Capital Region. We know what the traffic flow is, and allowing people to work from other locations other than just at headquarters in Pentagon City has some benefits as well.
Yeah, that traffic theme seems to be coming through loud and clear. And let's go to the phone. David Young, the solutions architect for VMware. What do agencies tell you is their abiding driver for all of this telework and mobility activity?
So, you know, the Telework Enhancement Act has been a really big driver, but ultimately it comes down to achieving their mission. And achieving the mission in the traditional sense is getting harder and harder. Putting, you know, people in the office and getting computers and laptops to the users becomes a very difficult thing, and people are wanting to work differently. You know, I'm personally an iPad user. I use my View client on my iPad to get to those things that don't work in that post-PC era. And as we start to look at that, and we start to look at the mobility of the data, being able to get the data, the information, you know, whether you're tracking bad guys or you're checking in grandma at the airport, making sure that those people and that information that we need is available to those end users in a very timely manner. And as we start to look at securing that edge, traditionally we've done it, you know, pushed laptops out, and we've had an issue with securing that data. So as we start to look at a virtual desktop infrastructure, we're able to protect the edge, yet give the user the same experience that they need and the information they need.
And Tony Leone from GovConnection, when you go into an agency, are most of them, half of them, I mean, give us a sense of the landscape on how equipped they are in terms of their infrastructure to really do the latest in telework and mobility?
That's a great question. A lot of them, it's a mix. The infrastructure is there. Computers and servers and technology has grown leaps and bounds that they're sitting there with a vast amount of processing power readily available. And a lot of this is actually, some of the other comments, it's kind of unique. Instead of IT or the agency driving the initiative from a technology perspective, it's the users that are driving this. Like David mentioned with iPad, and we're sitting right next here and, you know, have iPads in the office. These are the things that users are demanding to change instead of just sitting at either a desk or through a telework act and saying, I want a PC with a monitor. It's, I want to work this way. I want to be more efficient to the agency and to the company. How can I do that? And let me use the tools that I already have, iPads, iPhones, you know, different smartphones aspects. So it's more adapting to that and how they can embrace that with security and other initiatives that they need to supply for the mission.
My next question, I want to go back to Danette Campbell from PTO, since you are kind of one of the masters of this in the government. And when you travel around to agencies, what do people say is holding up telework adoption?
Well, you know, Tom, I think that agencies need to approach telework as a business strategy that's going to help them meet their mission and certainly achieve their strategic goals. While telework is certainly a nice to have for employees, it really should be embraced as a way that employees can accomplish its goals. Unfortunately, some agencies haven't gotten to the point yet where they view it as a business strategy.
Okay, and Dr. Alexander, I know that at TSA you have changed the infrastructure, you've gone to the cloud and so forth, some data center consolidation. Has that helped the whole process of getting your people more mobile, or at least more up-to-date in the mobility techniques they use?
Well, I found that we have many of the technologies already on hand that we need to support telework. That's partly because we have a distributed workforce anyway, and so we have to work with people in different environments and different locations. So we're able to actually leverage technology that we already have in order to enable telework and to make it much more pervasive for the agency.
Okay, and let's move to Anil. What are the obstacles for you?
Right. So, you know, based on our use case and our mission, you know, really we have to have the right technology framework in place to deliver a new compute capability to our end users. So what we're doing is we're deploying new capabilities to our consumers so that we can embrace enterprise mobility for the use cases that make sense for our enterprise. So we are, you know, interestingly enough, being a nuclear weapons agency, embracing cloud services for those use cases that make sense. We're embracing collaboration capabilities that really allow us to connect researcher to researcher, scientist to scientist, headquarters to field, to deliver a new compute capability to our end users, where work becomes something you do, not somewhere you go.
Now, I know in the nuclear field, the state of a computer down to the last bit is very important for cybersecurity. Can a virtualized machine that travels maybe from data center or cloud to cloud maintain the kind of bit-level integrity that you need to ensure everything is clean for nuclear administration?
Interestingly enough, in the virtualization context, you can actually employ better security in a virtual environment than you can in a physical environment, because the agility that you have to react to threats is far greater in a virtual context, leveraging some of the technologies that are available today, than in the physical realm. So actually, interestingly enough, virtualization and cloud computing deliver a more secure experience if designed correctly.
And at ATF, Rick Holgate, what are some of the hurdles that are holding you back from what you'd like to be and to get to your to-be state?
Well, I actually echo some of the other speakers in the sense that, frankly, there are relatively few hurdles in standing in our way, either technologically or culturally in the organization. We, you know, with our violent crime mission, have already adopted pretty aggressively the need to be very flexible in the way in which we work and the way in which we execute our mission. What has changed is, as Anil and others have mentioned, is evolving our thinking about how we deliver that remote access capability. Historically, like many other agencies, we've relied on laptops and physical devices that we give to our users. And as Anil said, that's a management challenge. It's a costly model to use to provide tools to our users. And there are now much better options out there that rely much less on specific devices or having to provision specific hardware to users. And we can instead be much more flexible about the devices that our users use and the locations from which they access the services that they need. So it's evolving the infrastructure to support that from a very laptop and PC-centric model to one that's much more device agnostic and much more flexible going forward.
Now, Dave Young, maybe from VMware, maybe you can elaborate on that, because very often, at least the way it used to be, is that the device architecture had a lot to do with the kind of software you could run. So even if a machine is virtual, can you run it on, how is it that you're able to run it on different architected machines, because a tablet has a different chipset and so forth than a standard PC? How does that all happen?
So ultimately what we do is we carve out and isolate on the back end or within the data center a virtual machine that has all the properties and aspects of a true physical device. So we're, you know, making, you know, CPU and memory and hard drive aspects of this machine. But to the user's interface, all we're really sending is screen data and pixels. So as I come from my iPad, the only thing that I'm really truly painting is a Windows 7 or a Windows XP desktop to that end device. So as we start to look at that translation across the network becomes just a pixel translation and not necessarily true data, which really means ultimately as I start to look at what I'm doing is I really don't have data at rest on the end device. So what I can do is I can take my, you know, iPad, forget it at the airport and give it to TSA as a donation for a school, and when we get into that situation, there's no data that was being computed within the data center actually residing on that device. All that data stays in the data center and is protected by, you know, the agencies or the company's rules that are within those egress points.
So it sounds as if someone could use a tablet that's dumbed down even from what they're capable of doing now and still get the work done.
Absolutely. And when you look at it from a management aspect, you know, being an IT manager and working in that field, one of the things that we always challenged was, you know, IT was the no-sayers. You can't do this because I have to maintain that machine in a state so that I can guarantee all my, you know, assets are going to work as desired. So as we start to look at interoperability and all those wonderful things, IT would say, no, you know, we all have to be on Windows XP or we all have to be on Windows 7. We're all going to use this version of an application. And the reason was is they had to control those boundaries and the interaction of the application. As we start to look at virtualizing this stuff, that endpoint, we really don't care what's on it. As long as it can run a client that can get back to the Vue desktop, we're good to go. And then even once we get into the data center, we can do things at different levels. I can have isolated pools for Windows XP and certain versions of applications. I can even go to the point of isolating and virtualizing my applications so that I can eliminate some of that interactivity between, you know, conflicting applications so that I can simplify my IT management task.
And Tony Leone from GovConnection, what does that do in terms of the technical requirements, skill sets required of people who deliver and install and support all of these types of systems for federal agencies on behalf of the technology vendors?
It actually can make their job easier. A lot of this stuff is, as David mentioned, instead of what they can't do because they're overwhelmed by having to manage different applications, how they interact between each other, whether everybody's standardized on a single desktop image, it's taking a step back and replicating those things. So it's streamlining the management aspect of it. So a lot of them already have the necessary skills because they're so used to, from a legacy perspective, managing thousands of users and images and applications and what happens. And like David said, now we're isolating those things. Those applications don't matter as much. The user, what we're providing them for a desktop is a single image to manage, and we can replicate that out to hundreds, thousands. If everybody's going to get a Windows 7 machine, we carve up a simple image, deliver that times multiple thousands. That IT administrator is still only managing one physical desktop or one virtual desktop, and it's replicating itself out to that pool of users. So if anything, this allows them to be more streamlined and more agile to the environment.
You're listening to the GovConnection HP and VMware panel discussion, meeting your telework goals using client virtualization solutions. Our guests today are Danette Campbell, Patent and Trademark Office Telework Senior Advisor, and Neil Carmel, MNO Chief Technology Officer for the National Nuclear Security Administration, Rick Holgate, Assistant Director for Science and Technology and CIO at the ATF, Dr. Emma Garrison-Alexander, Assistant Administrator for IT and CIO of the Transportation Security Administration. Tony Leone is the VMware Federal Business Development Specialist for GovConnection. And joining us by telephone is David Young, Solutions Architect for VMware. We will be right back after this short break. I'm Tom Temin, and you're listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.